That's okay. You good?
My sock was falling off.
Well, keep your socks on there, Tiger.
I don't need my feet to get cold.
That's why I'm wearing sandals. 3, 2.
Sorry. Come here, come here.
Yeah. Can we go now?
We can go now.
Perfect. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Matt and Fiona Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We are incredibly happy that you are here. As always, before we jump in, like, subscribe, share, follow, comment, all of those things on wherever you're watching or listening to this. That really helps us know where you're watching us or listening to us, which is great. So please go ahead and do that. That really helps us out. Let's jump right in, Fiona.
Yes, let's dive right in.
Incredibly,
let's go.
Important topic.
Life changing.
It actually kind of.
Literally, yeah, it has been in
all
certain
right.
regards.
So today is a special episode.
Yes, it is.
It's a special.
It's a special episode.
We're gonna see how far into it we can make her cry. No, not you.
Oh my gosh, I know.
All right, this is posting. The day before my mother's birthday. So, because I thought it would be fun.
Yep.
We're going to talk about, lessons from mom.
Yes.
Specifically my mother.
But yes. Yes. Because it is her birthday.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
And she's probably started to cry now.
Oh my gosh.
Love ya. All right.
We do love you.
All jokes aside.
Didn't we not talk about
we totally
your joking
did.
Ability in last week's episode?
All jokes aside.
Uh-huh, we did.
We got talking about this as we were making dinner the other day. About how this would be a good topic and how it would be fun and how it would open up a wonderful, enjoyable conversation.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to do.
Yes.
So we're going to kick it off, as I said. It's lessons from mom. So if you've ever met my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Most of this should come as no surprise to you.
Right.
But not everyone has. So, you know, there it is. But like anyone, I think anybody you meet, you can learn something from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, it may be
whether
a good lesson.
Good or bad.
It might be a bad lesson, but
you can
notwithstanding,
take something away.
Yeah, you can take something away. But there's a couple of really interesting lessons that I've learned, we've learned from my mom that I just thought would be interesting to share with y'all. So we're going to kick it off and I don't know, just talk about a couple of different things.
Dive right in there, honey.
All right.
And then I'll add to it.
Will you know?
Okay. Sure.
So one of the first things that I learned from my mom was, and I don't think this was something that she like blatantly taught me or us, but that she just always is.
I was going to say a lot of things become, you pick up on or they.
Which is not to say that I have not gotten a vast variety of sit down, I'm going to teach you something or correct you. Because I definitely have. Not recently, but you know.
Right. Over your lifetime.
Once or twice.
Shut
your mouth. You do not have enough hands or toes. We don't together.
I love you.
But one of the things that I learned from my mother, or continue to learn from my mother, is kindness and how kindness matters a lot. And, you know, you could simplify this down to the kind of cliche saying of kindness costs you nothing.
Right.
You know, give everyone a smile.
Right.
Right. Be friendly. All of the normal things. But one of the things that is very easy to take away from my mom, if you've met her, when you spend time with her, when she's preaching or sharing or literally anything.
Just in quiet conversation.
And one of our good friends, for this reason, calls her Mrs. Poppins, because she just is. She's kind to everyone, right? She always has something nice to say. She just exudes
sweet, pleasant,
yes,
joyful.
And it's one of those things where, you know, having obviously grown up in their house, having worked for them, with them, in the ministry, in the church, you know, I've seen all aspects of this in practice.
Yes.
Right. I've seen it with somebody who's walked in off the street into church, who, you know, you might give a sideways glance to, and she'll go over and talk to them and treat them like anybody else, right? I've also seen her interacting with some very important people or known people, and names that if I mention them, you would know.
Right.
Right. And you could Google real quick.
Right.
And she can interact with them at the exact same level. And there's no difference. Right. I've also seen the, you know, the negative aspect of it, where people have been mean and rude and all the things. And she's had the ability and typically the documentation, because we also ran a school for a couple of years at the church, and that's a whole other animal. But I also watched that, right? I watched and have watched over the years people get very upset for whatever reason, right? And she still would deal with it with kindness and grace.
Yes, grace. And a gentleness.
I've learned that lesson. I don't always apply that lesson.
Even if it's a strong, gentle.
Yes.
Right? She has, well, she can have a,
it doesn't mean wimpiness.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, right? That's why I wanted to emphasize there's a strength.
Correction
within
with
her
kindness.
Grace.
Yeah. And I.
That is something to admire.
I think that's one of those things that just not everybody is aware of, right? One of the other things, which I always laugh when I bring this up because it sounds terrible, but it was honestly growing up, one of the most amazing things for me is, and it wasn't just my mother, both of my parents were like this, but this is, we're talking about mom today. So
yes, it's her birthday
down,
tomorrow.
Dad. Gosh.
jokes over here.
She never believed me. She never took my side. Okay. Now, let me give you some context because again, partially jokingly, the key word of that statement was she never took our side. Right. Melissa could, you know, vouch for this. Megan would vouch for this. If we came home and, you know, we're at school and there was a problem with a teacher, with a class, with a grade.
Right.
I could say the teacher wouldn't help me. And her response was, I don't believe you. You know, like, I'm not taking your side on this. The teacher probably helped you and you probably didn't do it.
Or you didn't like the help that was being offered to you.
And you're going to hear this and you're going to go, well, Matt, that totally disagrees and is at odds with what you just said about her being kind. No, no, it's not. It's actually perfectly in line. And let me tell you why and how this has been like foundational to me in the way we raise our kids.
Right.
Is it's not that I don't believe our kids. Mm. I believe everything they say. Right. And I will always believe them and defend them. I will not always defend them to their face. And it's hilarious because, and I've talked about it on the show before, one of my favorite books is Extreme Ownership, which is about taking ownership of everything.
Right.
That was what my mom was teaching me by never taking my side.
Right.
So when I had the, I want to say it was calculus, math class with I was going to say with all due respect, but I don't even mean that. Literally the laziest teacher I've ever had in my life who would not teach. He was atrocious. And I did not do well in that class.
Right.
And every time I got a report, a progress report, I would, and like my mom was a teacher. She knew how this worked. She knew good and bad teachers, all of these things. But it was never, I could never use him being a terrible teacher
as an excuse.
Right? By not taking my side in anything, right? I'd come home with a black eye. I didn't say anything. He just hit me.
Right.
And she knew me, so she knew there was no way that was accurate. I said
him
something.
Not say something.
But I was much smaller at the time. I couldn't defend myself.
I didn't know him back then.
That would have been weird.
That would have been real weird.
Anyways, right, by teaching me that side of like, how did you get yourself in that situation to where someone could give you a black eye?
Right. An accountability.
Yes. It didn't, none of those things, which again, at the time I did not understand. And it was that whole, why won't they ever take my side? Said in a manly way, of course.
jokes.
That was one of those foundational things that helped me realize now how to always, like, if I take ownership of that situation, no matter what it is, right? If there's a, like, we dealt with a couple different problems this week.
Right.
Across the board.
Yes.
And was I at fault for really any of them in you know, the typical way? No. But like we had a situation where, again, I took ownership of the fact that, hey, I pulled this guy off this job.
Right.
Which meant that the people that were there that should have picked up the slack and done that weren't there. But I didn't go out of my way to make sure that they knew that they had to pick up the slack. Yep. Thus, the fact that that thing didn't get done is my fault. And I take responsibility for it and I apologize.
Right.
That thing that we tried to deal with that was missing some information that I didn't write and I didn't need to put the information on, I also didn't check it closely enough to make sure the information was there.
Yep.
So yes, it is my fault for not checking and making sure that you filled it out appropriately.
So that the follow through was there.
It could happen.
Yeah, right? Some extra accountability on
that
your side.
That is, when I read Extreme Ownership and it had that portion in it, it was like, man, my mom's taught me this for years.
Right, that accountability factor.
And the best part about it is that had they sat me down and like tried to make a lesson out of it, I wouldn't have picked up on it.
Well, that is the thing. Your mother always teaches through lifestyle and she shares through, she almost shares through stories so often that you need to, if you just stop and listen and absorb and then reflect.
Oh,
you,
just like Jesus.
You don't realize how impactful some of it can be.
Right.
Because it's not, they're not always teaching moments. She has teaching moments, but they're not always teaching moments. It's just conversation and there's so much depth and brevity to the conversations that you have. And I mean, we talked about this going, we talked about this when we talked about this.
Planning it out.
Planning it out.
Yes.
You know, I remember when
we don't just wing it, people. Except when we do.
Yes.
But this is not that time.
But it also always stems off of in-depth conversations we've had and spent hours on.
I just like to remind them that I don't wing everything.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Sorry. Accountability. Continue. Yeah. Okay. So when I first moved here, when I was in New York, I was a high school math teacher and I was a teacher in a, how shall I say it?
Inner city.
Essentially an inner city.
Incredibly diverse.
We had some challenging students and the students usually had challenging life situations. So I came from that sort of setting. I had 140 students a week We had 140, approximately 100 students from 140 or 120 different countries and like over 140 different
languages
spoken within the school as their, I mean, anyway, it was a very diverse, intense situation. I loved it. It was great. The kids were awesome. But that's what I came from. And I was a high school math teacher. In New York, I then got married and moved here. So I ended June at that school and I started September in our Christian school, teaching grade 1, 2, and 3. So I then had to teach kids that...
there were multiple languages spoken, like 2, maybe 3. A little Polish.
Yes, but they English, definitely Polish, spoke Russian, English. Yes, we Ukrainian. Definitely... Anywho.
4 languages.
Sure. So exactly the same. And, you know, I just remember, not that it was a struggle, but I mean, I had worked with kids my entire life and kids of all different ages, but yeah. I was so immersed. Let me just tell you, the way you can joke with high schoolers and the way you can joke with grade 1, 2, and 3 is a little different.
Minorly.
Anyway, so it was quite, on top of getting married and moving countries, I also went from high school, city school to private Christian school.
Minor change.
Early elementary years. Anyway, and I remember just sitting down with your mom and I don't think I realized how much I was kind of struggling and shifting and changing until I was out of that. But looking back on it, there was a lot of shifting and changing. And I just remember like, I don't know if I can do this. This is so out of... I mean, I know how to read. I knew how to teach the material. That wasn't the problem. But it was just, it was such a drastic shift. And I just remember her sitting there and being like, look, take this on, recognizing that down the road at some point, you are going to have your own children. And use this as a learning opportunity to recognize what your children in the future are going to need at this age range, because it was such a drastic shift that this opened my eyes up to, honestly, I'm going to have young kids before I have teenage kids. It's how it works. And that was just something that stuck with me because it changed and kind of shifted how I handled the situation. So yes, I had a job to do. And yes, I was grateful for my job. And of course I adored the kids, but it gave me a new appreciation, realizing that it made it more than just a job. And it gave me an opportunity not only to teach, but to allow myself to learn. And, you know, it's all those just subtle, and this is just all from just simple little conversations.
Yeah.
And so there's always so much depth within it that can become so really honestly impact your life. And, you know, it took us a while to have kids, but I didn't know back then what I know now. And now that I'm teaching, again, JK grade 2 and grade 3 this year and going through it, the foundation that I have now to be able to teach our kids that I allowed myself to learn back then because of a simple conversation with your mom that spans, how long have we been married? 18 years?
Yep.
We're coming up on 18 years. We're coming up on 18 years. And the transition through it all, just from gaining and gleaning some wisdom from your mom.
Yep.
And I've learned that over the years. I mean, we have conversations about best ways to have schedules with my kids, you know, and they're just always simple. Have you thought about this? Or what if you shift this a little bit? And it's always very thoughtful and simple, oftentimes.
But profound.
But effective.
Yeah.
And she enjoys being, whether she realizes or not, that the ability to impart wisdom comes through her conversations because she does have so much wisdom that's kind of deep within her.
Well, it's You know, I remember growing up, and again, this is something that we've been able to take and use with our kids, mm-hmm. which I grew up with it. She's told you about it.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And again, in a story form.
Always. Right?
It's not, yes. it's not a, hey, Fiona, you should try this with the children. This,
yes.
They will learn a lot from this.
Right.
I'm not sure why she had a deep voice there, but that's okay. but one of the things that she did with us when we were growing up is there was, you know, as a kid, you're always pushing boundaries, right? It's okay. Yes. As a kid, I was always pushing boundaries.
I was pushing boundaries. Boundaries too. I'm just
sure you were. But one of the things that she would do a lot mm-hmm. is if there was a show I wanted to watch or a movie I wanted to watch or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that, a game I wanted to play, mm-hmm. there would always be, there was never this like hard and fast no.
Right.
No, I'm sure there was with one or two things.
Right.
But typically there was a, I don't think that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And if I would pester her enough, which I was very good at.
Continue.
I think they call it resilient now.
Sounds like the perfect Dedicated. Word. Sounds like the perfect word.
She'd sit us down and say, okay, well, let's watch it. Mm-hmm. And then we'd pause.
Right.
And we'd have a conversation, or on commercial, we'd have a conversation. Well, what did you think about that? Did you think that, you know, and I'm trying to think of a show that I was trying to do. But there would always be this like, was that good? Mm-hmm. Was that bad? Was that
should
impactful?
He have done that?
Was that respectful?
Should they have done that differently?
Right. All of these little things that forced us to talk.
Right? And think.
And think. And think through whether, you know, again, using this example, you know, our desire to watch whatever silly show that we wanted to watch mm-hmm. was it founded in the fact that A, we wanted to watch it, and B, we liked it, mm-hmm. or was it founded on the fact that all of our friends are watching it, and right. thus, to not be left out, we need to watch it.
Right.
Right.
There was intrigue there.
There was all those things. And, you know, it was, in principle, it was the same as kind of what you're talking about as far as just the ability to have a conversation about things, mm-hmm. let you come to your own decisions, mm-hmm. which is not to say that they didn't tell me, lay down the law, you can do this.
This is a no, that. Right.
Because that happened a lot. Mm-hmm. But again, guardrails are great.
Yes.
Right? Structure is important.
Yes.
Which is another thing that I learned growing up. But it was that critical thinking side of like,
yep.
why do you want to do this, go there, watch this, mm-hmm. versus what's in those things or what are you doing with those things that are good, important,
yep.
fun, safe, bad, well, goes against your, you know,
she
your
did
beliefs.
Such a great job of instilling critical thinking in you. Mm-hmm. And I see that.
Are you saying I'm a critical thinker?
You are a critical thinker. And I really appreciate that from you. And I love... I think that's sometimes why we have such great discussions and conversations is because you have such a critical way of viewing things through.
Maybe.
I didn't say you're not one-sided with some of it.
No. That's not what I was getting at.
Okay. Anyway.
Joking about the fact that my favorite word is maybe.
Okay. Anywho. But no, but that is one of the things that I've loved because again, mm-hmm. You went through that
yeah.
and I've heard stories of it,
right.
of how she does that. And you know, that is something that we've taken on with our kids. Mm-hmm. When we do watch, I mean, even if it's something very simple and there's nothing wrong with it because our kids are younger and.
Oh yeah. Like we're watching treasure hunting shows right now.
Yes. But even.
And we have those moments of like, was that a good thing?
Right. How could they have handled it differently?
Yeah. Is that the proper reaction?
And allowing them, I mean, and even with some of the books, right? Like our Cohen is an avid reader. He got 25 books for his birthday and he's read like 20 of them mm-hmm. in like 4 weeks. And some of them mm-hmm. he's read multiple times. And, you know, I do my best to read or at least skim through some of the books or do research on some of the books, whatnot, ahead of time. But I want to teach our kids, even with reading books, how to think critically about it.
Yeah.
Example, we went to the library just the past week and there was a book, and our daughter takes ballet and loves mm-hmm. Ballet stuff right now. And there was a book, perfectly fine. But you know, the sister has a little bit of attitude with her brother and like they do sometimes. But what I want to do is instead of just give it to her, we have a discussion before it. And I just say, hey, you know, I'm just curious why you read it. Just watch mm-hmm. the attitude that the sister is giving to the brother. Just pick right. up on a few things. And then we have discussions about it, right? Mm-hmm. Or how did she treat the friends in the book? What was proper? What was inappropriate? And to have those open discussions about life through what they're involved with so that they can pull out and recognize the yep. good, the bad, and the ugly mm-hmm. through it all, but not saying, no, you can't read that book.
Well, and that was such a big part of my life growing up.
Yes.
Right. Was even as we got older, as we became teenagers, you know, it was not uncommon for us to, you know, crash my parents' bedroom mm-hmm. at 11 o'clock at night as they're trying to watch, you know, JAG before they go to bed.
Right.
Because it was that era. And, you know, one of us, two of us, three of us would sit on the foot of the bed mm-hmm. and we just talk about stuff.
Right.
We talk about life. We talk about politics. We talk about, you know, church stuff.
Well, always just so
school
such
stuff.
Open communication.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I talk to other people I know about this, mm-hmm. or when I talk to, you know, teens about this kind of stuff and whatever. And even now, right? Like now I was over helping my parents out today, mm-hmm. but I did the thing that needed to be dealt with mm-hmm. and then was there for another hour as we were just chatting.
Right.
And we're talking about a variety of things. Mm-hmm. But when I tell people that I still to this day do that, mm-hmm. I often get this eye, this look. It's like, well, yeah, like, of course I'm going to go talk to my parents.
Right.
Why wouldn't I talk to my
parents?
And
spend time with them.
Right. And glean stuff.
Yes.
Because, you know, again, they'll say something, my mom will say something that's off the cuff. And if you're not paying attention, quite often it's, you'll just take it as like silly. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, typically there's something pretty deep there.
Yes.
That's real.
That whole still waters runs deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. The last thing I wanted to touch on, I think it's the last thing.
Sure.
Maybe, I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
And again, it's something that I've learned with our kids, mm-hmm. right? Growing up, she would always tell me that when I'd ask to do something, mm-hmm. that, well, you know, I'll let you do that. My concern is not that I don't trust you to do whatever it is.
Right.
Bike to a friend's house mm-hmm. or later on drive and, you know, whatever it is. It's not that I don't trust you.
Right.
I don't trust everyone else. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a very, it seems simplistic, mm-hmm. but as we've had kids, it's one of the things that I struggle with the most. Mm. Right. Because our oldest will want to go walk to get the mail by himself. Mm-hmm. And that is not that far, but it's also not that close.
And it's out of right? sight.
And it's out of sight. He'll want to, I don't know, he mentioned it occasionally last summer, but it will definitely come up this summer, that he'll want to ride his bike over to our parents. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep, grandma and grandpa's.
And it's one of those things where, you know, I'm applying that same thing of, it's not that I don't trust you to ride your bike over there.
Yeah.
It's I'm aware of all the other things surrounding.
Yep.
And, you know, when I've mentioned this before, the pushback I get from some people mm-hmm. is the, well, you're just convincing your kids that the world is a very scary place. Like, well, one.
It is.
Two, we did that at the same time. Aww, it's cute.
That's true.
It is. But two, that you're not letting them run free. I said, well, no, because again, kids need boundaries.
Yes.
Right, which is one of those things. I had a ton of freedom within some boundaries.
Within the boundaries, right. Right,
growing up. And, you know, I had friends that had total freedom.
Yeah.
And not to say that they didn't turn out well or anything like that, but there's a marked difference mm-hmm. between them, the way they raise their kids, mm-hmm. The way their kids act.
Right.
And the way we raise our kids mm-hmm. and the way our kids act. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, again, it's a simplistic thing that I'm sure a lot of parents have said, but the way in which we always discussed these things, mm-hmm. right? It was never just a, well, no, you can't do that.
Yeah. Always a discussion.
It was always a no or yes, but you know,
right.
No. And here's why.
Right.
And then not the, because this is the one thing that like, I don't want to say I struggle with, because that's not what the term is.
All right.
But I try to make, I want to make sure it's clear. Mm-hmm. There was a discussion so that we would understand.
Yes.
Why the decision was made and how we got to that decision mm-hmm. collectively. I was never a part of the decision-making process. It was not.
But you were part of the discussion.
Yes. And
as to why the decision was made.
I think that's a really big difference, mm-hmm. right? And I want to make sure that I articulate that properly.
Right.
Because, and that's not to say that there was not a time as we got older, as I got older, that I was not part of the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. But it was not a, well, do you think that's a good idea, Matt? And then like an acceptance of my opinion at 6 years old, for example, or 10 years old.
Right.
Right. It was a, can I do this? No. And here's why. Mm-hmm. And here's the reasoning why. And don't you agree
right.
that because of, you know, reasons A through C mm-hmm. or F, that's not a good decision. Right. That's not something that we should be doing.
Right.
Right. And I think that is a lot of times when people hear that, mm-hmm. they think that it was like a, oh, you had an equal say in this. And no, I did not.
No.
And I shouldn't have.
No.
Because I would have made all the wrong decisions. But by, again, having all those open discussions and all those conversations, I learned a lot.
Again, it comes back to the critical thinking, mm-hmm. working through problems
exactly.
to come to a sound decision yeah. at the end, and something that's going to benefit you mm-hmm. and not hurt you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to just throw one last thing okay. in, which
we'll
I'm
it.
Grateful for.
Perfect.
Just as more. Far as, because obviously I met you after the growing up era occurred. So your mother.
I'm not making a joke.
Okay. Well, that's your joke. No, but so I met you and you were an adult mm-hmm. by that point. And so I just saw the fruits of her labor.
There was a lot.
But one of the things I appreciated is when you became my husband mm-hmm. or when I met you, mm-hmm. you were a man who knew how to take care of yourself.
That is true.
And knew how to take care of a family. So, I mean, and I say this all the time, you know, I do cook all 95% of our family meals now. 98% of our family meals, 99, you know, the vast majority, but it wasn't always that way. Mm-hmm. Because when we got married, you knew way more about not necessarily running a household per se, because we had to figure out the together, but a lot of just those life skills. I knew how to clean really well, and I know how to do laundry. But when it came time for cooking, I came with zero skills. I knew how to make pasta, pour pasta in boiling hot water, and take a can of tomato sauce, open it up, and dump it in. That was the extent of, and I could eat, make some cereal. But no, literally, I didn't know how to cook meat. I didn't know how to make a salad. Like, I knew how to make a salad, just not a good one. And that's a thing. It's a thing to make bad salads. Anyway, but I appreciated the fact that your mother taught you all those life skills. And you were efficient. You were capable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't marry a boy. I married a man, because she raised you to be a man who is capable of all the, I mean, he sews better than I do. Just all those.
Also true.
And I'm okay
with
it.
Way better at ironing too.
Way better at ironing. And that's okay. No, but I appreciate the fact that, I mean, and your father too, obviously, but again, it's about your mom. Yeah. But she
he can't cook, so.
But she raised you to be proficient in all areas of your life. Mm-hmm. And as a wife, I mean, you had to put up with me learning how to cook, but
yeah,
I appreciated that.
There was, growing up, there was always a strong focus on, again, being resilient, being, self-reliant, being able to, yes, like she taught me how to sew. She taught me how to, heck, I can knit technically.
Right, right.
I might need to watch a YouTube for a minute, but
just refresh those memories. Yeah,
it's been a minute, but I can knit. I can cook. I can garden. I can do all of these things.
Yep.
So, heck, I was doing laundry at like 7.
Right.
Because your kids, if you don't know this, your kids should know how to do their own laundry. If you're 20, especially if you're a boy, and you still don't know how to do laundry, yeah, you're still a boy. trying so hard.
It's an important life skill.
There was a strong focus on learning how to do all of these things and learning life skills. And, you know, there was never any, again, like I'm not to toot my own horn. I'm really good at sewing.
Right.
Like you give me a machine, I can make clothes probably. I've never made clothes, but I'm.
Yeah, but you made that massive tent. Yeah, like you've made some stuff.
It is one of those things where learning how to do things and being willing to teach. And again, it's something we're teaching our kids.
Yes.
Right? We're teaching them how to cook. We're both, all three of them.
And above all, yeah, I'm just going to say this. And above all, she and your dad. Mm-hmm. But they also taught you to how to have your own personal relationship with Jesus.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which I'm just going to throw that in there because that is.
Was this not a spiritual enough one? Sorry.
Jokes.
Jokes. I got the jokes.
No, but I'm just saying that is also.
Self-reliant in all areas.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it was never. At a very young age, it was, you know, you've got to figure this out. As far as, again, your Christian walk, you've got to figure that out for yourself.
Yes.
You cannot just hang on our coattails.
Yes.
Right. And all of those things are important.
I'm just saying, I just think that was also a big.
Very important part. Sorry. Didn't mean to make light of your very important statement.
This was all very important.
I know. All right. We're going to wrap it there.
Because we could probably keep
going.
Happy
birthday, Mom. If you made it this far. If you watch it, I don't know. well, she doesn't subscribe to us on YouTube, which I discovered the other day because she doesn't have a YouTube account.
Oh, that would be why.
That's why.
That's valid.
All right. As always, like, subscribe, follow, share, all of those things. We appreciate it.
Enjoy.
Hopefully you enjoyed this walk down memory lane. Happy birthday, Mom. Love you.
Love you.
yeah, we'll see you next week for another episode that is not centered around my mother.
There you go.
Next week on The Matt and Fiona Show. See ya.
All right. Bye now.